don't misread that. But praise the Lord. I like the enthusiasm I see here. The Spirit of God that's present in your heart and life. Matter of fact, I talked to one young man tonight, and I said, "You hungry?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "You hungry for the Word of God?" He said, "Yeah." All right, so praise the Lord. I like that. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, to turn Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28, and while you're doing that, I'll turn on things. Obviously, I'm not the text person around here. Can't even turn on a mic. All right. Matthew chapter number 28. Of course, we see the great commission that Jesus Christ delivered to the church almost 2,000 years ago. I want us to look at this tonight and consider the commission that God has given to us and whereby we might see and should see, need to see, it accomplished today for God's glory. Amen? Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, again, we do thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather together in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I pray, Lord God, that you'd be pleased to, Father, just allow your word to go forth with great power and conviction and stir our hearts, Lord God, tonight for the very cause of Christ. Pray, Lord God, as Jesus delivered this command, this great commission to the early church, Lord God, that you would stir our hearts tonight to see it fulfilled. Father, bless now thy preaching, thy word, Lord. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Again, when we consider the great commission that Christ gave to the church 2,000 years ago, and we see the list of this in three categories, to go and evangelize. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're going to all the world, preach gospel unto every creature. Every person deserves the privilege and opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. And do I need to say today, tonight, a clear presentation? It's getting pretty foggy out there. Amen? It is sad to think that the average evangelical church today does not believe the gospel. Think about that. If they did, they'd believe in eternal security. Amen? All right? You realize that the average evangelical church, most of them do not even have a doctrinal statement. Do you realize that historically, Baptists are the only churches, I hate to call ourselves a denomination, the only churches that in our doctrinal statement we believe in eternal security? If you do not believe in eternal security, then you believe in a work salvation. All right? Or you believe that you can lose your salvation, God's a liar. Amen? Now, let me do this. I'll rant Ray for a little bit. All right? Let me show you the difference between religion and salvation. I am not a fan of religion. All right? My definition of religion is man's efforts to please God. And with that realm of folks, and they're made up, for the most part, of good people, wonderful people. All right? We were in the Philippines 8.5 years. Predominantly Roman Catholic, 87% Roman Catholic, sweetest people you ever meet in your life. devout, sincere. I mean, they're at the church 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Every day. I mean, packed. You're standing outside the church. Don't tell me they're not sincere. They're very devout, very sincere. When we were there, there was a man, 8.5 years that we were there, there was a man that was crucified 5 years in a row. And I don't know if he continued doing that. I mean, literally putting the stakes in hands, or the stakes in his hands. The nails in his hands. There you go. Think about that. Very sincere, very devout, very religious. But here's the problem with religion. Since when do I or you or anybody else have a right to make the rules? Since when do we have a right to approach Almighty God on our terms? That's what's wrong with religion. We don't make the rules, God does. Amen? We just need to follow them. All right, so here's the difference between religion and salvation. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. Jesus Christ is speaking, John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13 says this, "In whom you also believed after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you trusted, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of promise." I may have had two words turned around there. And I'm looking for something I can grab a hold of. I grabbed a hold of a pen earlier, and I got it all in my hand, so that's not going to work. There we go, another pen, all right? Amen. All right, so here I am at the age of 20. I put my faith and trust in God as my Lord and Savior. I called upon Him, invited Him into my heart and life, receiving Him as Christ, my God, my Savior, my Lord. Amen? What happened to me that moment? I'm placed in the hand of Jesus Christ. He gives me eternal life, and nobody is able to take me out of His hand. I'm also placed in the hand of God the Father. No man's greater than Him. No man is able to take me out of His hand. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until He takes me home to heaven. Amen? I'm saved and secured by God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit for all of eternity. What does religion teach? Religion teaches just the opposite. You got to hang on to God. You got to persevere. Don't let go. Hang in there. Be strong. There's one major problem. You can't do it. Amen? Let's be pure with the gospel. Amen? Let's not compromise with eternal life. Amen? And so, God's given us the command to evangelize, to reach this world for Christ. Then God tells us to baptize those that are saved. Not as a means of salvation, not as a means of washing away our sins. Praise God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for Colossians 1:14, whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. You just finished revival, folks. Amen? Come on now. And then we are to disciple them. Now, folks, understand the responsibility that God has given to His church 2,000 years ago and for us today as well. Amen? For Maranatha Baptist Church in Shelby, responsibility, evangelize, baptize, and then disciple them. Teach them in all of the Word of God. It's important that we don't lose sight of that. I think recently, I haven't kept up with it, forgive me. We're discipling, there's 40 people involved in discipleship in our church. At least 20 of them are disciplees, you know, and you have someone discipling them. Amen? And it's important. Listen. You say, "Well, I don't know all the Bible." You don't need to.
By the way, you don't need to know all the Bible to evangelize. The woman at the well came to her town and said, come see a man, told me all that ever I was. Is that this, the Christ? And brought the whole town out to the Lord. Amen? What did she do? She gave her testimony. Amen? You may not know enough of the scriptures. You may not know the Romans road. You may not be able to go to John. I like going back all the way to Genesis. Honestly, today, with all the ethnic groups, you've got to stand and establish authority, and the authority is the Word of God. Amen? By the way, key verse I think that I like using is John chapter 3, verse number 21. All right. Unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That's the central theme of the whole Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Two things established there. Number one, God rejected man's efforts. They were already clothed. Amen? And he set the standard for what would be accepted by God. Innocent blood shed for Adam and Eve and for every man after. You see, that pattern followed through with Cain and Abel. Amen? And God said to Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, Cain, you know what's right. Thou doest what's well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. What was Cain doing? He's practicing religion. He's bringing an offering unto God. His way. Amen? And all religion, man's efforts to please God, contrary to the Word of God, is sin. Think about that. You see that all the way through the Old Testament, right up until John chapter 1, verse number 29, John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, preparing the way. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See it in Hebrews, it says, the great high priest offering up himself. Amen? The perfect sacrifice, once and for all. Folks, we got a tremendous story to tell. Amen? We got some tremendous truth that sets people free from the bondage of sin. So let's take the gospel to the lost. Let's see them get baptized after they're saved. Let's disciple them in the Word of God that they can be rooted and grounded and established and not be bounced around to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Amen? Amen? We're getting some more amens. I like that. All right, we're working on it. And so, we see the commission that God's given to you as a church, Maranatha Baptist Church, as God's preparation for carrying out the Great Commission. You say, Brother Getty, this is such an amazing responsibility. Reach the world, everybody, every creature with the gospel. How can we accomplish such a tremendous task that's laid before us? I do not believe God's going to tell us to do something without making it possible. Amen? And we see the possibility established in verse number 18. Before Jesus Christ ever told him to go and evangelize and baptize and disciple, he prepared the church by making this statement, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go in that power. Amen? Notice he didn't say all power in heaven belongs unto him and stop there. We understand all power in heaven belongs unto him. How about here where we live? Amen? How about here where we may have some downright cantankerous neighbors? Amen? Co-workers. Amen? Foremen. Whatever. I mean, this is getting to be a hard world to live in. We our church right across the street, and it's kind of a country road, a block away from housing, all right? Country. And right across the street, the house, they had a meth lab going on for years. What a mess. Boy, that was hard. That was hard when you go to church and you find somebody sleeping on the steps of the church and asking for water. Can I use your bathroom? Wow. Or you find them camping out on your yard at church. Oh, Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord, now it's a chicken. Amen.
We need to go in the power of God. Now I want us to see in a roundabout way in a couple hours, I want us to see what God has done with all power in heaven and earth. All right? So turn, if you would, please, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin reading in verse number 14. We've seen God's preparation, carry out the Great Commission, all power in heaven and earth. Now look at God's provision. God's provision in carrying out the Great Commission. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the body, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now understand what Paul is doing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He is trying to teach the church at Corinth what God's church should be like. And he uses the physical body as an illustration. And he says the body is not made up of one member, but many. Aren't you glad tonight that you didn't roll in here as one big old eyeball? Amen? Aren't you glad that God, and miraculously, in a wonderful, beautiful way, created this physical body with millions, billions, who knows how many parts that we are made up of? Amen? Want to call in all those white cells and corpuscles and everything else? Amen? Aren't you glad that you don't have two right hands and two left feet? And amen? Aren't you glad that God gave us two eyes and two ears and, again, two hands and two feet? And praise the Lord God in all his wisdom and understanding. Realize we only need one mouth. Amen? I mean, God put this body together in such a wonderful way. And he wants us to understand how the church is supposed to be. Think about this. What would it be like tomorrow morning? And I understand this personally. I've had a bout with my sciatic nerve that's been shooting all the way down to my feet. And it's interesting sometimes. All right? Mornings are tough. But what would it be like if you went to get out of bed tomorrow morning, all of a sudden the legs say the rest of my body, forget it. I'm sick and tired. You go in those buffets, all you can eat. The legs are talking to the rest of the body, amen? Now, let me help you, because I know in Baptist realm there is a misnomer. We got to straighten this out quick. The Bible does not say that we are to buffet ourselves daily. It says we're to buffet, all right? And I know what your argument is. Well, I'm just going to buffet myself. I'm going to buffet until I am buffeted. All right? That's a word. All right? But all of a sudden, these legs say, I quit. Wait a minute. I know Christians like that. Praise the Lord. I used to fill in the blank, sing in the choir. I used to play in the orchestra. I used to read my Bible and pray every day. I used to give my tithes and offerings. I used to go out soul winning. I used to, again, fill in the blank. I don't see any retirement plan other than heaven for God's people. Amen? Word be found faithful. Amen? What would it be like if all of a sudden everybody's left arm stuck out? I know the Bible says we're a peculiar people. Amen? Or to be one. All right, but this is maybe going too far. And all of a sudden, this left arm said, the rest of my body, forget about it. I'm not going to cooperate with the rest of my body. I'm going to hang out here and do my own thing. Well, I tell you what, we'll be in a world of hurt. I mean, we get ready to leave tonight, a couple hours. Amen. We get ready to leave. I see an exit door there, and I get lost anywhere else. So anyway, I know how to get out of here, all right? And I mean, we're going to have to go through like this. We're going to have to get to our cars. Get in the car. First thing you're going to have to do is roll down the window. Pray it's not raining anymore. Amen? And, I mean, you're driving home and your wife's having the time of her life because every time you turn a corner, she's slapping you silly. Right? Amen? Why? Because one member of this body says, forget it. I'm not going to cooperate with the rest of the body. I'm going to do my own thing. Oh, Lord God, have mercy. I know a lot of Christians like that. We have them in our church.
I'll get involved as long as it's something I like. I'll get involved as long as it's something that's convenient for me, but otherwise, I'm out here. You understand, God never intended the body to be that way, the physical body. God never intended the spiritual body to be that way. Amen. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 18, I believe this is the greatest verse in all the Bible dealing with you in particular as a member of Maranatha Baptist Church. I want you to help me. But now hath God set the members, how many? Every one of them in the body, notice this, as it has pleased him. Bless God, you ought to get excited about being a member of Maranatha Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina, when you understand the significance of what God just said. God, in all of his sovereign wisdom, God that cannot make a mistake, has sought fit to place you here. Amen? Now, I don't believe everybody's born and raised in Shelby. Amen? Many of you are transplants, I would imagine. You understand, God makes no mistake. I mean, he brought some of you from West Virginia. Amen? Think about that. Why? Because God knew that every single one of you are vital to the cause of Christ right here in Shelby, North Carolina, in Maranatha Baptist Church. God needs you. Amen. Every one of you. There's no age limit, young or old. Amen. There's no educational limits here. Some are brilliant, some are like me. You know, there's God's no respecter of person. Amen. God wants every member actively involved in the work of God. You are God's provision for Maranatha Baptist Church carrying out the Great Commission. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to see God's product. God's product. See, Brother Getty, what does God want his church to be like? And I think we see the answer. I mean, we can go in a lot of places throughout the Word of God. We can go through all of 1 Corinthians, all 16 chapters. And we see God, through Paul, trying to set this church in order. All the chaos, all the problems, all the things that were going wrong in this church. But I believe in one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, we can see the kind of church that God wants us to pattern ourselves after. Look, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, let's dissect that verse tonight and see what God is talking about. All right? He says, from whom the whole body, Maranatha Baptist Church, is fitly joined together and compacted. God wants your church to be solid and sturdy and strong. God wants your church to be able to stand against all the wiles and attacks of the devil. Amen? And I believe you do as well. I mean, I see a church here that's excited about the things of the Lord. By the way, that's exciting me. Amen. See that? You want a church strong. You want a church solid. You want a church that's going to stand firm for the glory of God. Amen? Say, how can we accomplish this? Well, the rest of the verse tells us how. All right? Notice again, verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted. How? By that which every joint supplies. You are the members of this church. You make up those joints. And that by that which every joint supplieth, you're going to strengthen this work. Amen? Now, allow me to say this, it works the other way. Just like the members of this body not functioning and operating effectively the way God intended it to be, it weakens the productivity of that body. Amen? The same thing is true when God has blessed every single one of us that are saved through the Holy Spirit of God with different gifts. Amen? Are we plugging in our gifts in the only institution God ever ordained and established? Carry on. Amen? If not, then we're weakening the ministry of the church. We're not allowing it to be as productive as God desires it to be. Amen? From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply. And I don't have time to go through a conference on stewardship. But your time, your talent, your treasure, and one more thing, the knowledge that God has given to you from His Word. Amen? Plug it in right where God placed you for the glory of God, for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen? He goes on. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working. Now, there's a word some people just have a difficult time with. Work. Amen? I mean, some people say, you know, parents say, hey, it's that time of year. You got to clean your room. You know, once a year, you know, amen? See, he's going to pick on me. I mean, some people just, you know, they feel like they got a headache or a stomach ache or, you know, something's going wrong when the word work comes up, amen? Or the thought of working. Huh? Amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. We're seeing a crowd of folks coming up these days. I'm afraid what's going to be like. I mean, if they can't do it through technology, they're not going to do it at all. Somebody has to build it. Amen? Right? Somebody has to want it. Help. I know we're going to get all these cars where nobody drives. Amen. It's all automatic. Oh, I'm concerned about that one too. Amen. Lord have mercy. All right. Folks, think about this. See, Brother Getty, you know, my worst day of the week is Monday. I mean, who likes Monday? I've never met anybody that thinks Monday is the best day of the week. Huh? Think about that. Why? Why is Monday so terrible? Why so dreadful? Well, you don't understand. I got to go back to school. I got to go back to work. Another week ahead of us. Okay, I got a solution to that. If Monday is so bad, can I help you? Why go back to work? You don't, yeah, you know, it don't excite you. Don't get all jump up and down about it. You know, then why go? Say, Brother Getty, you're a missionary, aren't you? Are you that far removed from reality? No, I'm not. Hey, we had to raise four kids too, amen? Yeah. Let me help you. John chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first. It's all about prayer. Seek ye first. And all these things shall be added. Brother Getty, I have to go to work. I got to provide food. I mean, you can't imagine how much teenagers eat. Amen? Clothing. I mean, I got to put a roof on, you know, and shelter for our family. I mean, I have to provide. I have to go to work. All right? Put God first. And His righteousness. You know, it's amazing. We are supposedly, I told you, Pastor, it doesn't make any sense to me, but supposedly we are living in the third most expensive place in the world. Come on to Vancouver. Try buying a house for $800,000, an average house. Average. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. I heard on the news, this was about a year ago, they said the average home, it takes both husbands and wife, both of them to be working two full-time jobs. 70% of the income is just going for the house. You've got to live on 30% for the house. You're going crazy? Put God first. I tell our folks this. Can we trust God? It comes down to faith. Can I believe what God says? Put Him first. Praise the Lord, we've had many people. It's hard finding a job, a good job. It's hard. And if you come on in, most places you're bottom totem pole. You start from the bottom. You're required to work on Sundays. We've had many of our folks say, no, I won't do it. Sunday's the Lord's Day. I'm going to put it first. Watch God bless. Watch God provide. Faith is an interesting thing, isn't it? It gets real personal. Work to provide for our homes, our families. We understand it also takes work to provide for God's house. Every member. This is what's so amazing about this verse. Notice again, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every. You understand that God emphasized the need for every person to be involved. He emphasized it twice. Amen? Every member and every part. You are vital to the cause of Christ. You want a church that's robust for Christ. I'm enthusiastic about things of the Lord. Every member involved. Every member carrying your responsibility, doing your part. It says, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part. And so, here's the work of God, the effectual working. My definition of effectual working, take your coat off, pull up the sleeves, jump on in, just get busy. Amen? And you'll find it exciting. You'll find it even more exciting when everybody's doing it. What an encouragement. I tell you what, I walk in here tonight, and as a missionary, you're never really sure what you're going to walk into, all right? I am thrilled with what I see. Thrilled in a choir that's excited for the Lord involved. Thrilled with, wow, orchestra. Bells and tubas and everything, slide trombones. Bless your heart. Violins, amen. Mom's five violins on the good. Praise God. It's exciting. Wouldn't it be difficult if all you had was a tuba? Amen. No other bird to accompany the tuba. Amen. Wouldn't that be difficult? You're home alone, bro. Amen. Ah, boy, it is exciting when everybody gets involved. Can I encourage you to keep up and keep the good work? Stay faithful. It says, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part. All right? In the effectual work in the measure of every part. Now, think about this. Let's do this tonight. I asked somebody tonight earlier, are you hungry? He said, yeah. I'm not sure what he was thinking. I was thinking at the time. All right? We got on the same page. All right? But are you hungry again? I mean, the other food? Amen? Spiritual food? But how about food? Amen? I understand there's going to be fellowship later tonight. In a couple hours. Amen? You're going to get hungry. Well, let me help out. Let's bake a cake. All right? Y'all like cake? No, I don't either. I'm a pie person. Homemade. Don't buy up store-bought. Well, Mama Getty makes the best pies. Lemon meringue is going to be. Let's make a cake tonight. And I tell you what. You all sit back. Doing it anyway, all right? Sit back. I'm up. I'll make the cake, all right? I'll put the apron on, the hat, you know, and we do not need Betty Crocker, all right? We can do this, amen? All right? And so I get out a big old pan. You know, I know it takes flour. I got that much, right? I'm going to throw in some flour there, all right? That maybe a little bit. Okay. It takes sugar, right? I like brown sugar. Honey, even better, all right? Keep it natural, amen? throw in a big jar of honey, all right? I like honey. It takes eggs, right? Am I okay so far? All right. Well, let's have a baker's dozen, amen? 13, throw them all in there, amen? All right, good. Throw some balut in there while you're at it, amen? All right, yeah, amen. It takes salt, I like salt. Hey, you cannot have salt without having pepper, amen? Matter of fact, I like pepper better than salt, amen? All right. They say, Brother Getty, I'm going to pass on that cake. All right, well, let's take out Betty Crocker. All right. Okay. Open Betty Crocker, and it says, help me, half a cup of flour. Two, a cup of flour? Two or three? Thank you, Betty. Two or three, all right? Two and a half. We'll compromise, all right? It takes eggs. Three eggs. Okay, good. Eggs, flour, sugar, a little bit of salt, forget the pepper, amen. All right, butter, amen. Yeah. But you understand that everything has its own proportion, its own measurement. You realize God knows the same truth about everyone else. Not everybody's going to provide the same thing. God's blessed us differently, spiritually and otherwise. But every one of us have the right proportion, the right measurement to add to the work of ministry right where God's placed you to make this a sweet-smelling savior to God. Do you understand Jesus Christ? I mean, this verse blows my mind when I read it, that God is glorified by us. Think about that. Really? God gets all excited about me? Serving Him? Yeah. God gets all excited about you. How much more so collectively as a church? Amen. This is, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Maketh increase the body, edifying itself. See, when every member of this church is actively involved doing your part, all of a sudden you have harmony, amen, unity, strength. By the way, there'll always be something missing. You know what it is? It's called strife. Isn't it terrible? Those are the things that are destroying our churches, God's churches. Amen. Turn back, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at the purpose. We've seen God's provision, or God's preparation, Matthew chapter 28, God's provision, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God's product, Ephesians chapter 4, God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. From verse number 17 through verse number 23, the end of the chapter is Paul's prayer request for this church at Ephesus. And you'll see at least three of them here. First one, verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. His first prayer request is that God, he's praying to God that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That we will know Him better. Amen? That we'll grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a family in the Philippines. Brother Vince and his family had five kids at the time. The youngest one, Joshua, he had a birth defect. And Joshua never grew. He never developed properly. When we left the Philippines in 1992, Joshua was, I think, about 12 years old. And Joshua was, he was 12 years old. He was about so tall. Physically, mentally, he never developed. Not what he ought to. I went back for the first time 8 years later, had a reunion with the church members and everything. It was wonderful seeing everybody. Here was one young lady growing up Her name, her God-given birth name was Happy. I never seen her smile, not one single time, not once. Always pouting around, and wow. Well, here she was, and she just bubbly and smiling and laughing. I go, Happy, what happened to you? She said, I know. I don't know what I was like yet back then. I don't know why I was that way. I said, well, sure, I'm glad you changed. Now you're lived up to your name. I got to see everybody, and then I seen Josh, 20 years old. I don't think he probably grew more than an inch. Mentally, physically. And then I realized that's what he's going to be the rest of his life. Wow. And then it dawned on me. I wonder how God must feel about me. Others. That are his children. But we've never grown. We've never developed. We've never matured. The way God cometh God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I can't begin to please God unless I have faith. So how do I get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I mean, God gives us the plan, and God gives us the way to have it accomplished. Can I encourage you to saturate yourself in the word of God? Not read just to read. Not read just to check off another day of Bible reading. Go into it and read it with a desire to allow God to speak to you personally. To conform us unto the image of Christ. Look at verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I think a lot of Christians, we get real hung up on the will of God. What is God's will for my life? You know, it's easy as a pastor, and I'm transparent here. It's easy as a pastor to tell somebody, you know, hey, you can find God's will. It's easy. Until it's my turn. Amen. But I believe this is true. You want to know God's will? Here's how to find it. You just be faithful and obedient right now with what you know you're supposed to be doing. That's it. That's it. God's not going to lead me 5 years down the road if I'm not doing anything today. Amen? But I know this for a fact. If I am faithful and obedient with what God wants me to do today that I know I'm supposed to do, God will lead. The next. We've got to be obedient to what we know we're supposed to do today. He goes on. He says, your understanding being light, that you may know what his hope is calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now that's you and I, the saints. Amen. He said, Christian, I want you to know of all the riches, all the glory, all the inheritance that I have for you. See, wait a minute, I'm a Bible student. I've been there. Amen. I understand. I understand what it's like having a family of six working full time, going to school full time. Understand, and running a bus route 90 miles round trip. I understand what that's like. Boy, I tell you what, God is so good. Honoring his faithful children. Amen. God just wants us to step out of faith. God just wants us to trust him. I don't believe God is saying you got to wait till you go to heaven to have it. Amen? God wants us to know of all his riches and glory now as well. I'm not preaching prosperity Christianity, but I am preaching we have a Heavenly Father that's more than able to meet every one of our needs. Amen. I have a joint account in the bank with my wife. We've had going on 46 years. I come to understand what a joint account. How many of you have a joint account with your spouse? All right, some of you aren't sure. Wow. All right, figure that one out real quick. Amen? All right, well, I I've learned what a joint account is all about. That simply means I put in and she takes out. Amen? That's a joint account, right? Bless God, Jesus Christ deposited the bank, the blood bank of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. I'll guarantee you there'll never, ever be insufficient funds. Amen. We can draw from that bank account over and over and over again. God is able. Look at verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19. What is exceeding greatness of his power to us were to believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I've arrived. I beat around the bush all that I'm going to. Give me another 5 minutes. I'll be done. Boy, that's a quick 2 hours. Amen. Jesus Christ preparing the church, carry out the Great Commission. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go in that power. Now, what did he do with all power in heaven and earth? Did he not appropriate you and I? Did he not make it available to us? Isn't that exactly what it says here in verse number 19? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, word? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Isn't that interesting? Again, right where he placed us. Amen? Look again at verse number 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Say, Brother Getty, help me. What does that mean? Well, that just means, Maranatha Church, you're the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Say, can you help me a little bit more? What does that mean? Okay, I'm glad you asked. That simply means this. Maranatha Church has the privilege and opportunity to be the answers to the problems of your community. The fullness filleth all in all. You have problems here in this community? I mean, are there gangs? Are there broken homes? Dysfunctioning homes? Are there drugs? Are there alcohol problems? I'm not talking about within the church. I'm talking about in the community. Are there problems here? If not, let me know. I will move here. But you know what? I'm convinced you have problems here just like we do in Vancouver and everywhere else. And I've come to this conclusion. Though the lost are blind, and though they're spiritually dead, they're crying out for answers. They're looking every avenue they can for the answers. By the way, you're getting pretty crazy. You're getting pretty desperate. Crying out for help. And all the while,